The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show on Kent Business Radio, on Biz Radio and channelradio.co.uk/2 on this Tuesday, the 21st of November. You are listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, Mr. Marvellous Martin White.
Good afternoon, Paul.
How are you?
Good afternoon, listener.
Listener.
Or listeners.
The listener's there. The listener's ready and waiting.
I'm good, mate. Yeah, how are you?
I'm okay. Yeah.
Good, good, good.
Busy, busy, busy.
Excellent, excellent.
You keeping busy?
It's that time of year, isn't it, where everything just goes bonkers.
So, tell me about it.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many networking events happening. There's so many kind of, you know, lunches and bits and bobs going on. You don't know kind of where to kind of prioritise and where to go, do you? It's which way do I turn? A bit like a sort of rabbit in the headlights. Nice lead into Paul there.
Rabbit in the headlights. Which way to turn? Where do you go? Dinner, pudding?
All of the above.
Absolutely, yeah. So I want to say a big thank you to the show sponsor for this month, which is the lovely folks at Aluxite Consulting. She'll probably tell me off for this, but I tend to think of them as productivity consultants and process management people.
Yeah. But I don't like that word, consultant.
No,
do you know what? Because Linda is a consultant, and she'll kill me for saying she isn't. But what Linda actually does is, for her, it's about identifying productivity gains,
right,
and then helping the business implement them,
right,
which for me is kind of far more than a consultant does. You know, what was the old cliche about consultants, Paul? You lend me your watch and I'll tell you the time. That's not what Linda's all about.
No, absolutely.
So
no.
It's a very serious issue, isn't it? Productivity.
Yeah. It is, especially at the moment. Yeah. We were talking about it off air, weren't we, just before we came on air, about the productivity issues in the UK and UK commerce. Mm. And maybe we'll touch on that later in the show.
I think we will.
Yeah, but a big thank you to Aluxite Consultants for sponsoring the show this month. We do appreciate it. We've got a packed show. We've got some lovely guests. I just need to tell you that we were going to be joined by Louise Carter from Smile Before You Dial. But unfortunately, they had a bit of a family emergency in the early hours of this morning, and she couldn't make it, obviously. So we do send them our best wishes and hope things are okay for them. And say a big thank you to bringing on a sub, Mr. Paul Rainbow, at the very last moment, stepped in and saved our bacon. So, Paul, thank you for doing that.
It's my pleasure. And happy to be here.
If only ties could talk.
Absolutely, yeah. Look at that tie.
There's a whole book on that tie.
There is, isn't there? That is a tie. Without being rude, it looks like he spilt his dinner down the front of it, really, doesn't it?
It's a tie so on much radio.
Yeah.
He's just done his driving tests. It's his highway code on a tie, isn't it?
Yeah.
Stop signs. What do you do at a stop sign?
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah, you got that right.
Nice one. And obviously, we've got the lovely Carol Partington from Optimus Recruitment, who we're going to talk to later as well. So welcome to you, Carol. Welcome, Paul. Thank you so much
for
joining us. It's a pleasure to have you in the studio. As always, you can get in touch with us, and we want to hear from you, the businesses out there in the southeast of England. And you can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You can, in fact, call me on 01233 220035. That's Ashford 01233 220035. You can email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on the show is to tweet me at VanillaWeb and to use the hashtag BBunker. And Martin, you will be staggered to learn that we have had exactly 1,934,763,002 tweets.
I've just read them all.
Actually. Have you? Yeah, I was reading them earlier this morning. Yeah, it took me about 10 minutes, that. Yeah. So we've had a few tweets. We've got some emails. We will, as always, cover the Federation of Small Business News Roundup just before the hour at 2 o'clock. But I'll tell you what, Martin, why don't we kick off with something? And you can surprise me. Well, you can read a tweet, or you can read an email, or you can have a bit of a rant.
Well,
I mentioned
our show sponsor, Linda, at Aluxite. Yep. And she says, unfortunately, I'm going to miss the live action as I'm giving an interactive talk at the Women in Business Network lunch today at the Bridgewood Manor from 12 o'clock. So, but Linda is launching her leadership and management development program, which is a training program for managers and business owners of businesses in Kent. She's launching that on the 15th of January. And at the moment, it's only £999. She's doing a special offer. And it's 6 sessions over 12 weeks. So again, going back to what we were saying earlier, that program is designed to help your business identify productivity wins and then implement them. So that ultimately you start generating more money, more profit in your business. So you can start employing your employing more staff or investing in infrastructure. And we'll get some of that in there later as well with Paul when we talk about asset finance. So it's a very important area. And in fact, there's the LEP are hosting an event this morning or today in Essex, I think.
The Local Enterprise Partnership.
Yeah, Southeast Local Enterprise Partnership.
Mm.
And I think two of the wishes that have come out from delegates at that conference today are infrastructure and better training. So both of which are obviously crucial to driving business productivity. The number of people that are now getting stuck on our roads because they simply can't get from A to B, Dartford Tunnel being a classic example.
Oh, don't get me started on roads. The M2 and the M20 are permanently closed. Last night, I came off the M2 onto the M20, closed.
Right.
Again.
Again. Yeah.
So it's not just a case of businesses investing in, you know, new investment, new infrastructure, for example, new ways of being more productive. There's also, you know, the government have got a big role to play here as well, ultimately. It can't, you know, the burden can't all rest on business owners. Mm. And infrastructure is top of the list. Mm. You know, where everybody is sick and tired of getting stuck in traffic jams, trying to get to work.
Our road network is the most important thing in infrastructure terms in the UK.
Yeah.
And we put no effort into it. They want to build railways.
Look at the M2. You know, it's called a motorway. It's you know, really, it's a chock-a-block dual carriageway. It's no better than that, really. Mm. So when was the last time we built a new motorway in the southeast? Well, we haven't done for a long time.
Absolutely. Talking about such things, talking about motorways and what have you, the government has dropped plans for the huge lorry park off the M20. In a massive U-turn, another massive U-turn, the government says it will no longer be going ahead with plans for the £250 million park near Hythe just days after saying it was still fully committed. Who'd have thought it? It means plans will be taken back to the drawing board with options due to be presented to the public next year and submitted in 2019. But it has today told the High Court it will no longer be defending a judicial review against the plans for the proposals near Stamford and has scrapped the plans entirely.
Well, that's why we've got a motorway, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So we can stack a load of lorries on it whenever there's problems crossing the channel.
Yeah, but again, you see, this is where the government completely fail to think through anything. There's a need every day of the week for lorry stops. It's part of the driving infrastructure of the country. If you go anywhere on the continent, there are hundreds of lorry stops everywhere on their motorway networks.
Well, by law, you can only drive for a certain number of
hours.
Exactly.
So for me, this isn't an Operation Stack issue. Mm. It's a transport issue in general. Mm. We don't have enough lorry stops already. If we had sufficient small lorry stops right across our motorway network, and instead of using our very expensive motorway digital signage to tell us what not to do, you know, like don't fall asleep while you're driving and, you know, don't drink tea and
take your litter home, others do.
And all the other nannying nonsense that you get. Yeah. If they actually use those digital signs to say, do you know what, the French have gone on strike again, please don't go to Kent, pull off to a lorry stop in Leicestershire, you wouldn't have this issue. Mm. If you had, you know, we've got two lorry stops in Kent, in Ashford and Service 24 at Folkestone. They're the only two lorry stops we have in Kent.
Mm. The M25 does that, though.
Yeah.
It's highly computerised, and the reason why they slow you down, it says 40 miles an hour, is to stop that sort of pulsating of the traffic.
Yeah, absolutely.
It already does work.
But what we need is somewhere for the lorries to go when they're told that they can't come to Kent.
Yeah.
Less lorries.
Yeah, that would help. Anyway, so that was a nice little rant about all of that, wasn't it? Yeah. And that was good.
But anyway, it was just interesting that, you know, I saw this post from the LEP on LinkedIn today. And, you know, it's business owner feedback that they're talking about here. So, you know, what do business owners want? Better infrastructure, number one, and better access to training. And that's really where Linda focuses.
Yeah.
Her thing is all about training business managers and business owners and business leaders to help make their business more productive. Because let's face it, how many people have got the title manager and haven't got the first idea about how to manage people?
Yeah,
because they've never had any training.
It's the difference between management and leadership as well, isn't it? Well, talking about all of that, do you see, this show isn't just thrown together. It is, really. And talking about that, it is a good time to mention this as well. And in fact, Linda will be there as well from Alucci Consultants. If you want to meet Linda, you can meet her here, which is on Thursday the 30th of November at the Ashford International Hotel from 8:30 till 4:30 is Grow Kent.
Yeah.
Grow Kent Ashford, the Business Growth Accelerator. 5 business growth experts reveal how to unlock accelerated growth for your business without risking your assets, be they money or your lifestyle. Owners and directors of small businesses to medium-sized businesses, including startups, who are frustrated by the lack of income and profit growth should attend this event. And it includes an all-day conference with 6 world-class speakers. There's workshops, there's an entrepreneur panel, there is one-to-one sessions, there's tea and coffee, there's business networking breakfast with a speaker, and that includes a buffet breakfast. There's conference guides, and there's over £100 worth of products being given away by the speakers. You can find out more about it and book your ticket by going to growkent.co.uk/Ashford Annual Conference.
And all of that for £37.
Absolutely. And
what
you get me.
What's the date on that?
Next Thursday.
Next Thursday, the 30th of November.
I'm going. You're going.
I'm chairing it.
Yeah, it's a great day, actually. It's a great opportunity towards the end of this year to think about your business going into next year.
Absolutely.
And generate some ideas for how you're going to, you know, maybe take your business in a slightly different direction, grow your business, all of that.
Mm. It was very well attended last year. Mm. We had about 300, 400 people.
Yeah,
there.
It was a good day. Yeah. So yeah, well done, guys. Looking forward to that.
Yep, great. I've had a tweet, Carl's from Kent. He said, "Hi, Vanilla Web, please can you give us a Business Bunker shout out? You can buy or sell your car locally on carsfromkent.com. There you go.
Tracy Ferguson has tweeted in. Now, Tracy was on the show a couple of weeks ago, wasn't she? Talking with the Prince's Trust, I think, were here, weren't they?
Yes, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And Tracy is a business coach. And she says, can I have a Business Bunker shout out, please? I'm preparing to deliver, the final one of my 6 My Best Self workshops. It's been a pleasure to see the learners grow, for them to see they have value and potential, and to celebrate their strengths and opportunities. Hashtag love what you do." So I think Tracy spends a lot of time working with young people in particular.
She does
a
lot.
Yeah,
she actually works with the Prince's Trust, and she's one of their advisors. But she also does a lot of other work with young people outside the Prince's Trust.
So. Yeah, so well done, Tracy. Carry on the good work.
Yeah. Excellent. I've had a tweet from the Kent Community Foundation, Kent Community on the Twitter, and they say, "Hi, Paul, we would love a shout out on the Business Bunker show. Kent Community helps companies that want to give something back to their own local community. We make it easy for businesses to support small grassroots charities where a modest sum of money can make a huge difference. Give them a follow. Find out what they do. Their Twitter handle is Kent Community."
Stove Hub have tweeted in.
Joe. Hello, yeah. Joe.
Hey, hashtag BBunker at Vanilla Web, counting down to our Will Devlin pop-up restaurant.
Oh, they've got a pop-up restaurant, haven't they?
At our showroom. So they've got a fabulous showroom in Rochester. And actually, I was there a couple of weeks ago.
I noticed you snuck along there.
Yeah, they had another Will Devlin evening. We were only treated to canapés this time.
Oh, that's a blow.
Did
you complain?
Quite delicious. Quite delicious.
Did they?
Obviously, I had to get a kebab on the way home.
Of course. Why wouldn't you? I actually had a kebab the other night. First time for ages. Sorry, Laura. Over in Tenterton Toilets there. I didn't eat it in the toilets this time.
I had an impromptu one last Friday. It was gorgeous. Anyway. So Will basically is having a pop-up restaurant at Joe's showroom in Rochester. You won't be cold on the night because Joe's showroom is full of log burners and dual fuel burners. So no doubt they'll be roaring away. Let's hope it's a nice cold evening. And Will will be cooking. I guess he's doing a 6-course taster menu. And his food
6-course?
Yeah. So his food is absolutely lovely. I can't remember how much the tickets are, but if you get in touch with at the Stove Hub, I think they've literally got 1 or 2 tickets left, but it'll be a cracking evening. I think it's this Saturday. Yeah,
it is. Yeah. Talking about that, I've had a tweet from the UK Food Show who said, "Yes, please, we'd like a Business Bunker shout out. We are at the Agri Council in Cape Town today talking to African food producers." That's good.
Very good.
Sounds good, doesn't it? What you got?
Well, there is literally loads of networking happening at the moment. And I'm just trying to find an event that's happening tonight. I think it's at the Metro Bank branch in Maidstone. No, that was last week. Hang on a minute. I've lost it, Paul. I've lost it.
At the top. It's Orpington, isn't it?
Ah, Orpington. Yes, there it is. So Tuesday the 21st, 6 till 8, Metro Bank, Orpington. So this is a great opportunity to meet local businesses in North Kent. Chris Dexiades, who is a good friend of mine and Supply My Business, is now the local area director for Metro Bank Kent.
Okay.
So they've got loads of stuff going on at the moment. They had Maidstone Networking last week.
Yep.
I think Joanne Frey was talking about that.
She was indeed. She talked about cyber security and GDPR.
They've got Orpington Networking tonight. And then on Friday, just around the corner from you and me, they're opening their Canterbury branch.
Oh, are they?
It's Friday.
Have they finally got it open?
Yeah. That's the old C&H Fabrics building.
It is, by Whitefriars. Yeah, yeah. They've been a long time trying to get that open. Yeah.
So it's going to be one of their flagship stores, no doubt, that one.
Absolutely.
So if you're in or around Canterbury this Friday or Saturday, you can pop along. They'll be giving all sorts of freebies away. There's street entertainment. There's all sorts of stuff going on. And they've got this wonderful machine as well inside Metro Bank stores. And if, like me, you're a serial collector of 1 and 2p's, you probably collect £50 notes in your.
No. I have one of those big jars. Every time you put a penny in it, it totals it up.
Right. Well, Metro Bank in every single store have got one of these Wurlitzer type machines, and it's for the kids really. But I love it as well. And you can take all your 1 and 2p's along and you chuck them in this great big funnel. And then the kind of lights come on and it does it this kind of fancy thing. And then it counts it all for you.
Does it really?
Yeah. And spits out how much money you've just given them. It's amazing.
Cool.
It's really good fun. Beats sitting there on your carpet doing it yourself, I can tell you. And having to pop down the bank with loads of plastic bags.
Right. So where's this machine?
Inside the Metro Bank store. Every single store has got one of these machines. So, yeah.
I need to use that.
Yeah, it's good fun.
I need to use that.
It's really good fun.
Yeah.
So,
because that's the problem. I've got this big jar of 1s and 2p's, and I'm not going to sort them out into 1s and 2p's.
So, literally, you just pour it in, and it does it all for you.
I like it already.
But it looks like a Wurlitzer, you know, all the lights come on. And it's just fantastic.
Does it play tunes?
I'm not sure. It may even play music.
Does it play tunes?
It may make funny sounds. So, anyway. So networking tonight, 6 till 8 at the Orpington branch and Canterbury grand opening Friday and Saturday. And I think it's quite early. It's sort of 8 till 6. So it's all day long.
Okay, cool. Nice one. We're talking about events like that. There's a Muesli Mafia breakfast. And there's one taking place on Friday the 24th of November in Maidstone. And then there's one on Wednesday the 6th of December in Ashford. You can find out more about it by going to kentinvictorchamber.co.uk/events.
It's another very good networking event that I've been to before, happening on Thursday this week. It's Curry and Beer Networking. So, Paul Kane, who's been on the show before, hosts a monthly Curry and Beer Networking. It's at the Costuri in Hayes, which is Bromley.
Bromley, as
opposed to Middlesex. I think there's a Hayes in Middlesex.
Oh, yeah, there is, yeah.
So that's this Thursday. I think it normally kicks off about 6 o'clock. I think it's about £23 and includes a pint of beer as well. So Curry and Beer Networking this Thursday. All of these events are all on the community section of Supply My Business, by the way, if you need to refer back to them.
Cool. I've had a tweet from Chris Hyde of Camellia Genics. And he says, Vanilla Webb, please can I have a shout out on the Business Bunker show this week? I'm busy back in GP practices, improving access for patients. So that's Chris Hyde from Camellia Genics.
Brilliant.
Doing his stuff back with GP practice. Last week he was in vets. He was
what
going
does
to
he do?
Vets. He specialises in process management and organisation in public sector health based organisations.
Tough gig.
Yeah, exactly. So he does NHS stuff, GPs and vets for some reason.
Yes, we would, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you would really. Yeah. I think that's a kind of little expansion of his business into a sideline. Yeah. So, yeah, thank you, Chris. Thank you for tweeting in, and I'm sure you'll catch up and listen in later.
A lady that I haven't met before, but you may well have met her, Paul, Katya Presnyakova.
Oh, Katya. Yeah, she's a mate of mine, yeah.
Says, hi, Paul.
Preskanova, that is, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, say that again.
Preskanova.
Yeah, very good.
I thought you did well attack.
Yeah, she's she's from East London.
Yes.
Yeah. Hi, Paul, at Vanilla Web. Could I please have a hashtag Business Bunker shout-out for my personal shopper service?
Mm.
Help with Christmas present buying. Advice on colour, style. DM me for details. Thanks, Kat. So that's at Katya.
Say Presnikova.
And that's spelled Presnyako1.
Yeah, that's her Twitter handle.
Twitter. So, yeah, if you need some help with, you know, buying some especially nice this presents summer,
yeah,
this
yeah,
year.
Yeah, you know.
Send Katya out on your behalf.
Exactly, yeah. If you're an MP, you need to listen to this. Don't send your secretary. Yeah, send your personal shopper.
Well, actually, I'd completely forgotten that whole MP debacle. Have we got any MPs down here in the southeast at the moment, or are they all on suspension?
Yeah, I think most of them are on suspension, aren't they? Or desperately fighting against suspension.
It's like they've all gone back to school, isn't it? Back to their public schools, and they've all been suspended for bad behaviour. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just ridiculous, isn't it? Carol, we won't get on to politics.
No, it's probably very wise.
Yeah. I know you're quite involved with the political scene. but seriously, I mean, my local MP is being investigated for election expenses, so I'm not sure he's in office at the moment.
Yeah, he is.
He is still in office.
Yeah, he's still practicing.
We've got, is it Damien Collins?
No, it's Damien Green in Ashford.
But isn't there another Damien?
Well, Damien Collins, but I don't think he's under investigation.
No, but wasn't he tied up in the expenses scandal first time round?
Well, I don't know.
We've got Damien...
You have to be careful with things like that. Wasn't he tied up? I get confused over which scandal we're talking about.
I got very confused.
We've got Damien Green, who's...
Charlie Elphick's been suspended.
Well, yeah, but Damien Green, and they found...
Allegedly, they found
pornography on his House of Commons computer.
Yeah.
And then we've got who was the one that you mentioned, Charlie Elphick.
He has been suspended,
but nobody knows why.
No, least of all Charlie.
So I'm assuming the taxpayers still paying their salaries while they're not doing any work.
Well, obviously.
Yeah. And when are they coming back to work?
Obviously. Yeah. Well, hopefully not too soon.
Because we're doing all right without.
Because it does better without them. Yeah. I mean, Belgium proved that they went without a government for what was it 2 years, and it kind of survived.
Right. Yeah.
And the last time I was on, we'd agreed that we'd be far better off doing everything by referendum.
Yeah, exactly. And now. Now that scion of perfect countries, Germany, no longer has a government, so that we'll see how they get on without that.
Yeah. Well, while we're on that subject, so what do we think about 40 billion?
Yes.
Versus 20 billion? I mean, do we think 40 billion is a lot of money, or don't we think 40 billion is a lot of money?
It's only taxpayers' money. Who cares?
Change for Paul.
You know, if you look at some of the kind of America's richest people like Larry Ellison.
Yeah.
Bill Gates,
Peanuts. They could pay our bill for us,
right?
Yes,
yeah, Bill, stump up, mate.
I mean, really, in the big scheme of things, if it means we can actually be in control of our own destiny moving forwards,
well, we shall see.
Yeah, well, it's just finishing the term of the contract, really, isn't it?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Anyway, we digress.
Do you know what? I'm going to play some tunage. I'm going to play a bit of tunage, and then when we come back, we'll talk to our first guest. What do you reckon? Sound like a plan?
Good plan.
Here we go.
We'll do it all. Everything on our own. We don't. Just lay here. Would you lie with me and just forget the world? I don't quite know how to say how I. Three words I said too much, they're not enough. If I lay here, if I just lay here, would you lie with me and just forget the world? waste time chasing cars around our heads. I need your grace to remind me to find my own. If I lay here, if I just lay here, would you lie with me and just forget the world? Forget what we're told before we get too old. Show me. Just lay here, would you lie with me and just forget the world?
Right, time for work. I'm off to Channel Facilities Management. Oh, didn't I say? I don't work for them. What I mean is, I don't start work without them. Channel Facilities Management is where local businesses go for no-hassle, peace-of-mind commercial cleaning, security, janitorial supplies and facilities management. Operating a safe, green and eco-friendly service with no chemicals used. Channel Facilities Management. Don't start work without them. Just call 0800 612 4415 or visit channelfm.co.uk. UK.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
ZC Live, bringing a digital one-day event to Kent with Zoe Cairns. ZC Live, register for your free place. Visit zcsocialmedia.com.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Your business will grow if you take advice from people who've been there and done it. See and hear world-class business experts in masterclasses and workshops at the only business conference worth visiting. The Grow Kent Annual Conference, November the 30th at the Ashford International Hotel. Get tickets at growkent.co.uk.
Need help promoting your Kent business? Join our supplymybusiness.co.uk community today and start connecting your Kent business for just £20 per month.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show on Kent Business Radio, Biz Radio, channelradio.co.uk/2. On this Tuesday, the 21st of November, with me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, Mr. Marvellous Martin White.
Hi, Paul.
Hi. Welcome back.
Hi, listener, if you're still listening.
If the listener's still there. You still there? You still awake?
Yeah. After that rant.
Yeah, sorry. I will try and stop Martin ranting about politics.
Well, if they were a Labour listener, they're probably chuckling away. If they were a Conservative listener, they probably tuned out.
What were they doing if they were a Lib Dem?
Weren't bothered listening.
Yeah. There aren't any.
There aren't any. No, see, that was the answer. There aren't any.
We've had a tweet from Grow at Brogdale. So Brogdale are obviously the big fruit farm specialists over in Faversham, aren't they?
They are indeed, yeah.
It says, hashtag BeBunker. We'd love a shout out, please. We are standing by to advise our customers on the best varieties of fruit trees to grow to suit their space and needs. heritage fruit trees grown from the trees of the National Fruit Collection, which they house down there in Faversham.
They do indeed,
certainly,
yes.
The National Apple Collection, I believe. Yeah,
absolutely.
Let's get Britain growing. So if you haven't ever been to Brockdale and you've got some time on your hands at the weekend, pop down to see them. They've got a wonderful array of farm shops there as well.
They
have their own butcher shops, which are fantastic, beautiful meat.
Lots of artisan stuff there.
And you can walk round the orchards. Obviously, there won't be any apples there. There might be a few on the ground that that they haven't picked. That have fallen off, but it's a great day out actually. So Brockdale, yeah, thumbs up.
Absolutely. I've got a few things coming up here that I'm going to tell you about in a minute. I'm not going to go into a great deal of detail because you can go into the website and find out all the detail and book your places at any of these by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk, click on the blog tab, and then click on Marsh Networking. And these are the new Romney Marsh Networking Group. And these are their next up-and-coming events. Tomorrow, manana, the 22nd of November at 5 p.m. is the Marsh After Hours Networking. That's taking place at the Ship in Dymchurch. It's worth going there because they've recently refurbished it.
Lovely,
and Channel Radio are having their Christmas party there as well in a couple of weeks' time. Yeah. So that's tomorrow night at 5 p.m. at the Ship in Dymchurch.
My invite must have got lost in the post.
It's on WhatsApp.
Receiving that. My invite to the Channel Radio Christmas
It's on WhatsApp.
Party.
Aren't you part of the WhatsApp group?
On WhatsApp? No, I'm not. No.
Oh, that's why you didn't see the invite then.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, you can come if you want.
Begrudgingly.
I was about to say, that was said with...
If you want.
If you want.
If you really want. If you really, really want.
You're not invited, but you can come if you want.
If you really, really insist on coming, you can come.
Thanks,
yeah.
But it happened
all right.
Yesterday.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, yeah. But but unfortunately, it's already happened, yeah.
Put you on the list for next year.
Yeah, yeah. December meeting is a coffee morning on December the 6th at 10 a.m, and that's at the Cinqport Arms in New Romney. The After Hours Networking is on December the 13th, again back at the Ship in Dymchurch at 5 p.m. So they're the next ones coming up for November and December. Do get along, they're brilliant. I went to the first one, it was really good.
Yeah, I was there as well.
Yeah, it was.
Very, very good. Packed
Absolutely.
Out. So, yeah, well done, Terry. Keep up the good work there.
Yeah, that's Terry Botfield is organising that, and it's a really good initiative. Yeah, so well done, Terry.
At TD Botty.
TD Botty is his Twitter
TD
handle.
Botty.
Yeah. Be careful what you do with that. You could end up with some dodgy accounts there. Yeah.
Good. I was going to read out something else. Ah, yes, of course. How could I forget? So next Friday is it's Slope Off Friday again. Can you believe it? How quickly that Slope Off Friday comes around. I'm not sure how Jules manages to fit these slopes sort of slope.
Well, between jaunting around Africa,
well, she's
and
in Namibia and South Africa at the moment.
Yeah,
so I think she flies back specially and then flies back out.
Yeah,
exactly.
But next Friday, it's at the Empire Room Restaurant in Ramsgate, which is a really nice.
Oh, it's lovely in there.
It is nice,
yeah,
isn't
really
it?
Nice.
Really nice. Mm. So I can't remember the Craig Mather is the chef there actually. Yeah. Mm. Ex East Kent College.
That's right.
Graduate,
absolutely.
Isn't he?
Yeah.
But he's very, very talented. So I'll be going. So that's a reason maybe not to go.
I'm not.
But but actually, it's the last one before Christmas, obviously, so it's going to be packed out. You need to book early. Andrew Knott at the FSB is your
contact
that, and I think his Twitter is...
A Knott 21.
Yeah, and that's A-K Knott, isn't it?
A-K-N-O-T-T 21 is his Twitter handle, if I remember off the top of my head.
Yeah, so get yourself booked onto that. Mm. Normally starts at 2, I think, and then carries on.
And then
whenever.
Goes on till 2 in the morning, yeah. Cool. Well, thank you for that. Do you know what? It's an absolute pleasure to welcome our first guest on the show today, Carol Partington from Artemis Recruitment. Carol, welcome onto the show.
Thank you for inviting me.
It's an absolute pleasure and it's lovely to see you. Why don't we kick off by you just telling the listener a little bit, there is more than one listener.
Oh, I do hope so.
Yeah, no, there's two.
We've got lots of jobs.
No, there's two.
Double.
Yeah, we've doubled our listener base in the last 2 weeks. Tell us a little bit about you and your business.
Okay, so I'm Carol Partington. The business is Artemis Recruitment. I've been part of Artemis Recruitment for 2 years. Mm-hmm. But the expertise within the business is 30 years worth of experience.
Okay.
We're a generalist recruiter, so we cover all industries. Okay. But we do have specialists in particular fields like construction, accountancy, legal, sales and customer service. And I hope I haven't forgotten anybody because it's everybody. But we believe that we offer a different service than some of the larger recruitment agencies because it's very individual and it's very personal to the client.
Do you cover a specific geographic area or would you deal across the whole UK?
It is predominantly Kent, mm-hmm. Although it does kind of bleed into sort of London areas, especially on the construction side of things.
Yeah, sure.
But predominantly Kent.
Regional. Yeah, absolutely, which is, you know, fairly understandable. And you're based over in East Kent?
That's right. We're based in Margate, actually. Margate. We've got a lovely sea view. Mm.
Cool. Okay. And how long has Artemis been going itself? You've been with them
2 years. 2 years. So from the inception, it's been going 2 years
cool.
now.
Okay.
Yes.
Fantastic. What's your general views on the moment in terms of where we are in employment? You know, we see statistics on a regular basis now with unemployment plummeting, employment going up, although there's been a kind of little blip that Martin wanted to talk about just recently in terms of employed people. But we do still have the largest number of people in employment that we've ever had in this country at 32 million. Mm-hmm. How do you see the market at the moment? What's hot, what's not? Where are the shortages? Where aren't they, if there aren't any? And so on.
I think the biggest skills shortage that we have in this country at the moment is in construction.
Construction, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's so much building going on and there really isn't the people to, you know, try and build these either houses, office blocks, whatever it actually is. Mm. And interestingly, when Brexit actually happens, it'll be interesting to see how the market actually...
All the Polish plumbers are going home. Yep.
Absolutely. Well, you know, just recently I was recruiting for a site manager and, you know, most of the people that we are dealing with are from Europe.
Yep. Yeah, they are.
Well, they reckon that the new Thames Crossing, Carol, is going to generate about 6,000 jobs. Mm. And you think, well, if we're struggling to kind of fill construction jobs now, where's that workforce going to come from?
Interestingly, I don't want to take up too much of Carol's time because I want to hear more from Carol. But a couple of years ago, I chaired a TV debate about the new Ebbsfleet Garden City. And the politicians all rocked up looking incredibly smug and saying it's going to be a massive construction project that's going to help local construction firms. And it's going to generate thousands and thousands of jobs. And all the construction people there just fell about laughing and went, oh, yeah, and where are we going to get them all from then?
Yeah, absolutely.
You can generate all the jobs you like, but if we can't get bricklayers, plasterers, electricians, plumbers, and carpenters, they're pointless.
Well, yesterday I went to a consultation on a site that's looking to have 2,500 houses at Manston Airport, and they are saying they're going to generate 500 jobs just on the construction element of the site. So it's only a temporary 500 jobs. But, you know, I'm struggling to get one site manager in Ashford. How are they going to get 500 jobs?
Exactly.
In
they don't think about
Bennett,
this. Yeah. So is it true to say, from your point of view, you see skill shortages?
Oh, yes, definitely.
And do you see them in other areas as well as construction?
It's a really difficult one because what I see, especially with the school leavers, there seems to be a lack of acumen when they come out of school or savvy. Mm. The communication skills are quite poor. Yeah. Unless there's a screen involved. And sometimes that's the biggest problem because you're trying to sell 18-year-olds into jobs, and without the experience, it's very difficult.
Absolutely. Funnily enough, I, in conjunction with the FSB, I do a programme in schools called 30-30, in which we take up to 30 businesses into schools to actually talk to A-level type pupils about the benefits of not going to university, doing apprenticeships, and about the world of work and the kind of skills that we actually need, which aren't qualifications, but soft skills, as you just mentioned. That's a fascinating insight. When we were off air, just talking before the start of the show, Martin asked a fairly apposite question, and I think that was a reasonable question. I don't know if you want to ask it again, Martin, about the perception of recruitment businesses.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, you only need to look at the kind of the posts on social media, on LinkedIn in particular, and the number of people that seem to be, that seem to have a negative opinion around the kind of the whole recruitment industry. Mm. And I was just wondering, you know, what lies at the root of that? And, you know, A, is it justified? And B, you know, how are you guys different, for example? How do you tackle some of those issues head on?
I think, you know, when you think about our business, it's only 2 years old, and yet we've got a really, you know, we've got an abundance of jobs, and we are working really well with our companies. Now, that wouldn't happen if there were existing recruitment companies out there doing well or doing their job properly.
Yeah.
And I think the way we find ourselves different is that we do meet our client. We understand the environment that the potential candidate is going to be working with. We also understand the kind of people they're going to be working with, the kind of demographic that's going to suit that particular client. And it's really important to nail that, because personality is just as important as skill set. Mm-hmm. So that's part of it. And I think also it's the customer service element at the end of it. You've placed a candidate. Now, what's happening with that candidate? You know, is there a fit there? Is there something we're going to tackle? You know, because sometimes there might be a personality conflict somewhere along the line, and we have to deal with it because we want that candidate to stay there. And I think often what happens is once the candidate's placed, that's the end of the story for some recruiters, but not for us.
Mm. And I think what you talk about is you recognise that it is very much a two-way street. And I think from a candidate's point of view, sometimes I think it can feel weighted in the employer's favour, this whole kind of discussion and relationship. But what you recognise clearly is that actually the candidate needs to be just as happy in that job as the employer is employing them in the first place. Mm. Otherwise, the relationship will break down, and you guys might be faced with a partial fee refund, for example, if they leave within 3 months. So it's in nobody's interest to kind of pile them high, sell them cheap, as it were.
No, absolutely not. And it's not even in the candidate's interest either, because if you look at it, if they're in a job short term, their CV is going to look job hoppy. Mm-hmm. You know, so we want to make sure it's the right fit for everybody. Mm.
The world of employment, just to finish on that, has changed massively.
Well, I was just about to say the same thing. I was just about to say, my big frustration here is that we still, after all this time, on both sides of the equation, employers and potential employees to a large extent, still do not understand the employment process. We still don't get, there are too many people that don't understand the employment infrastructure. You know, the amount of people that look me up on LinkedIn, see the name of my company, assume I'm a recruitment agency, which I'm not, and then start trying to talk to me as if I'm a recruitment agency. And I go, read the profile, eh? Mm. There's a good lad. Mm. You know, it's frightening. And back to my 30-30 programme, one of the things that we've been trying to do is to stop careers teachers writing the rubbishy CVs that they write at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
Because the whole...
sorry
to make...
Oh, yeah. My life hell.
Yeah. Isn't it? It's, you know, they just aren't connected to where the market has moved on to.
Right.
And part of the problem is organisations like Jobs in Kent, the recruitment portals, we make it so easy to apply for job adverts that most of the candidates just sit there with one CV and just hit send 200 times. Mm. They don't look at the job ad. They don't look at whether it's relevant. They just blast their CV all over the place.
Mm. My 19-year-old daughter has just... got a job eventually, but she was utterly disappointed with the treatment she had from recruitment consultants. What happened is that they drag her up, they say, come to London, they drag her up for a 10-minute interview, they send her off, never hear from them again, and all she get is a load of waffle about jobs that aren't suitable for her.
Yeah, absolutely.
And she gave up eventually. And just
absolutely.
And is it, while we're talking about young people in particular, it seems to me that we're potentially in danger of losing a whole generation of young people. And I'm not sure what the kind of the cause of this is. But, I mean, I've got friends who've got 25, 26, 29-year-olds in some instances still living at home because they haven't got a full-time job.
You know? But they're not job ready. That's the problem. The biggest problem is that the schools are not, I don't believe, are engaging with businesses. I mean, I had a recently, and I hope I can name drop here, I did a tour around Fuji Films. They're one of the biggest employers in planet, 300 plus people. Mm. The R&D that company does in the chemical industry is fantastic, and they're at the leading edge of what they do. And they've tried to engage with schools and universities in order to get people at the very early stages and put them through university. Mm. Have their schools sent them anybody?
No, they're not interested.
Nobody. No. And that's ridiculous.
And I'd completely agree with that. My daughter had exactly that. The school is teaching the wrong attitude for people. Mm. And they go out expecting the top job immediately.
Yeah.
And don't realise they have to work hard for it.
Absolutely, yeah.
I think they published some stats recently, didn't they, about the number of university graduates that are actually getting a traditional kind of graduate trainee job now.
Yeah.
And the numbers are kind of have obviously dropped off a cliff.
Yeah,
because
it is now a dead certified statistic
yeah.
that the average earnings of an apprentice are much higher than the average earnings of a graduate. Mm.
Is that because there are too many universities now? When I was younger, universities, weren't there?
The concept of a degree has been devalued because of the amount of degrees that are in circulation. Mm. But the secondary issue and the bigger issue for me is that we sold them a crock when we told people they were paying 40 grand for their education and they were going to march in as managing director of somewhere.
Yes.
Yeah. And the fact is, you start at the bottom no matter what your paper qualifications are. What businesses want is attitude and experience, not paper qualifications. Yeah. Paper qualifications are important, but they're not the answer. Mm-hmm. And we told too many people that when you graduate, you're going to walk into a 40 grand job, and they're not.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's the problem.
You finding that, Carol?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah.
Experience is key.
Yeah, absolutely.
But what's really worrying now is, we've got to do something about this, because the figures that were published last week, by the ONS, were saying that, obviously, unemployment has been steadily falling, year on year. Mm. But actually, the headline rate of employment dropped last month.
Last quarter,
for the first time in a very long time.
Baby boomers.
Yeah, so that means that there are less people employed in the workplace.
They're now termed economically inactive.
Right. So people are dropping out of the system, in other words. So they're reaching 55, 60, 60, whatever the age is.
They're baby boomers.
And they're taking themselves out of the system.
The baby boomer generation in the United Kingdom is the biggest in size generation out of all the generations that are still alive and are still coming along. It's the biggest one. It was the post-war boom in births.
It's us.
And we're all getting to an age where we're retiring.
And the way we've solved this productivity problem up until now is businesses, by and large, have just thrown labour at it.
Yeah.
They've just said, well, do you know what? Sales are good. Mm. Get another body in.
Yeah.
They haven't actually invested in the kind of the infrastructure.
Processes,
They've just thrown another body at it because real wages haven't grown.
Yeah.
They've been flatlining for 10 years in this country.
It's interesting. I don't know if you see this, Carol. It's one of the things that I've been noticing in terms of what we advertise. The amount of, for want of a better term, minimum wage jobs is actually declining as we automate more and more of those things. So as an absolute number, in things like agriculture, packing, picking and stuff like that, more and more of those types of jobs are being automated too.
Yeah, but I mean, it's interesting the statistic you just came up with, Martin, because you talk about the baby boomer age actually leaving employment, but actually a lot of these people are staying in employment longer.
Yeah.
So actually where they would be leaving and the young people were coming into some of these roles, that's not actually happening.
Yeah, I know of an engineering company down in Sevenoaks that actually paid a huge amount of money to get a 72-year-old out of retirement because they couldn't source anybody with the skills that they had.
I think you've got extremes, haven't you? Because there was a bit again published last week about, you know, people in their 50s really struggling to get, you know, get decent jobs.
Yeah, although that's a bit of a misnomer, because if you actually look at the statistics, the highest number of people in employment are people in their 50s. Because we're back to this thing that Carol mentioned earlier, which was attitude
and experience.
Mm-hmm. You know, most people in their 50s. Mm. I don't want to be too crude about this, but you've got to balance all the things that politicians do to businesses. And if you look at this year alone, we've had auto enrollment, you know, parental leave, all kinds of nonsense that they throw on it, business rates, all impact the cost of wages, all impact your ability to manage a business. And the fact is that there are some issues that once you reach 50 cease to become an issue. If you see what I mean. And therefore,
no,
I'm not explaining any further than that, Paul. Martin, I'll have a word later.
Thank you.
I'm only in my 40s, but I look a lot older.
I was going to say, yeah, you're not wearing well, mate.
You're looking rough for it.
If you look for a job, I'd up your age by 10 years.
But the point I was trying to make with all of that was, look, if the available workforce is shrinking, which it clearly is.
And it clearly will as we Brexit. And at the moment,
it's so much more important that we've got to get young people into work, haven't we? Because,
absolutely.
You know, this kind of massive pool of resource that we've got at kind of senior level You know, in terms of age and demographic, is you know, is shrinking.
Absolutely. No, I couldn't agree more. It, for all kinds of reasons, not just for workforce planning, for all kinds of reasons, it's really important that we get a generation of new people. Generation Z, the latest generation, has got to be moved into work.
Exactly. But they've got to have an attitude change. And that's the other thing. Exactly. Because there seems to be a generation of people that think the world owes them a living.
Yeah.
But, and it's not that straightforward. I mean, you take something like Planet Earth as an example.
Yeah.
They have to boss in people to work there from out of the area, from out of the country in order to work there. Why can't they do work experience there? Yeah. It's a job. They'll earn money. They'll be able to pay for things.
Yeah.
And that gives them some self-esteem as well.
Absolutely.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because it's a really difficult thing to subject to broach, isn't it? You know, are young people prepared to get off their backside and go out and get a job, or aren't they? I mean, when I got my first job, I went into... I wanted to work in marketing and advertising in London. And I came out with a degree in accountancy, which wasn't relevant for that field of work. And going back to what we were talking about earlier, you know, am I actually qualified through my studies to do that job? Well, probably not. But I've got a good business degree. So I went and did a postgraduate marketing course. But then I had to write to 75 agencies in London, 75, to get one interview, to get one job.
Absolutely. I mean, the problem is, for me, because I do a lot of work with young people in schools and I hear their side of it as well, the fact is we do have a problem. We do have an attitudinal problem. At some point, our politicians have got to stop interfering in the education process and let it be what it needs to be. If you work in education, there's only one criteria. How many GCSEs do your pupils get? That's what everybody's geared against. And no employer is remotely interested in GCSEs. Survey after survey after survey tells you the same. But our politicians sit there year after year telling schools that they've got to worry about GCSEs.
We're fixated with league tables, aren't we? And parents, when they send their kids to school, are looking at, where is that school ranked?
And then every employer and every recruiter comes along and goes, well, I'm not interested in that. I need an attitude. I need a work ethic. I need you to want to come and work.
But there are some businesses out there, aren't there? I mean, people like, you know, JCB, people like Rolls Royce, who recognise that actually what they want is somebody with the right attitude at a much earlier age that they can then mould into the person that they need to do that job.
The vast majority of businesses, even professional service firms, accountants, lawyers and stuff like that, are now ceasing to take graduates and are taking apprentices.
I think so too. I'm involved quite heavily with the Scouts.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, they're a brilliant bunch of young kids. And everybody sits and says, kids today are lazy. I'm taking 10 of them up to North Wales to throw them in some white water.
I was a Queen Scout.
And it's great fun for all of us. And
I was a Queen Scout, not a Queen Scout.
You're a King Scout.
Exactly. I just scraped in. I love scouting and things like scouting.
Life skills.
It's an attitude.
It breeds confidence.
And if you saw that on someone's CV, I mean,
Tracy, we were talking about. If I see DOB on someone's CV, that tells me a lot.
You know, the Prince's Trust stuff. All of that, you know, a Duke of Edinburgh Award, all of that kind of stuff.
I think there's a lot of people blaming the kid, but I think I think you're right. It's the attitude that is drilled into them.
There's two sides of it. Yes, there are two sides of it. Listen, we could talk about this a lot. We've got some other things to cover. I think we'll talk some more about it in the second half of the show, actually, because it's a fascinating discussion. And we're also going to talk to Paul. But right now, we're going to go over and talk about... it's that time in the show where we do the Federation of Small Business News Roundup. There's a lot of local events taking place over the next few weeks. I'm going to give you the basic details. If you go into kentbusinessradio.co.uk and hit the FSB tab and then hit events, you can book your place on any of these. There's a Women in Business brunch taking place in Hythe at Western Hanger Castle next Tuesday, the 28th of November. And the guest speaker is Hilary Steele from Business Legacy. There's Kickstart social media training for small businesses taking place on Thursday, the 30th of November from 10 a.m. That's in Bishopsgate in London. And it's being presented by Lucy Hall, who is the founder of Aviso Media, and Deborah Turner, who's the champion for FSB Women in Business in Kent and a director of U-Image. That's on Thursday, the 30th of November. There's Slope Off Friday, which Martin mentioned earlier. It's the Christmas special on Friday, the 1st of December at the Empire Room in Ramsgate. There's FSB Women in Business Dartford on Tuesday, the 5th of December. That's 10 a.m. at the Base Point, and the guest speaker is Gemma Fairclough Haynes, who's the owner of Orchard Employment Law. And then there's festive drinks. Tunbridge Wells, Wednesday the 6th of December, 6 p.m. at the Beacon, arranged by Jacqueline Franklin, host of FSB Women in Business and director of Hospitality Media. So do find out about those events. What have you got, Martin?
Paul's just written that down, but I think he missed the last bit.
I did.
FSB Women in Business.
Women in Business. No, absolutely.
What, the festive drinks?
It's the ladies that I'm attracted to.
All right. Okay.
Right, moving on. Intellectual property is high on the agenda again. So the FSB is hosting a round table with the Chartered Institute of Patent Attorneys on how small businesses can maximise their intellectual property. I mean, it never ceases to amaze me how few businesses have actually got their logo trademarked or their name or something like that. And I think from about 170 quid a year, you can protect all of that. Just have a look at the Intellectual Property Office website. But if you would like to go along to this roundtable and learn more about how you can not just protect it, but also ultimately monetize it, I would assume, is the kind of the ultimate objective. Please get yourselves along to this workshop. It is today, Paul.
Is it? At what time?
It's in London tonight. It doesn't say at what time, but there is a public affairs advisor, a lady called Jessica Smith. You know Jessica?
Yep.
So how would we get in touch with
Jessica? If you go to the fsb.org.uk website and search for Jessica, you'll find her email address.
And I'm sure that event will be on there as well. So if you're in and around London tonight and you fancy popping along to that, Intellectual Property Roundtable hosted by the FSB.
Fantastic. Are you having trouble with online trading platforms? The EU is considering action against online platforms engaging in unfair trading practices. Have you had a negative experience with a platform that you use as part of your business? We're particularly interested in hearing from businesses that have been affected by sudden terms and condition changes, delisting, changes to payment terms, loss of access to data, or opaque search ranking methods. If you have a view on this, if you could contact via the FSB website Mr. James Sibley, he'd be interested in talking to you.
Going back to what we were talking about earlier, really, about training and upskilling and you know, all of these kind of issues around the workforce, there is a new £10 million fund available to support adults to upskill and reskill. So that's available for businesses to work with colleagues and independent training providers to design, develop and test innovative ways of delivering technical and basic skills to adults. And break down the barriers to upskilling. So, you know, fantastic opportunity there to take advantage of some grant funding to help implement some new training in your business to upskill your staff. The fund is open for project proposals until the end of January, 31st of January 2018. There is more information in terms of submitting a proposal on the website. It's the gov.uk website, and you need to look for Further Education Flexible Learning Fund. So that's 10 million quid available to businesses to help upskill their staff.
Fantastic.
Productivity again.
Fantastic. The FSB have called on the Chancellor to end the business rates chaos in the budget. Philip Hammond should end the staircase tax in England and Wales, bring business rates bills under control and commit to more frequent rate re-evaluations. Amen to that. It's a complete and utter and total omni-shambles.
Omni-shambles.
Business rates. And that's you, Ashford Council, I'm talking to as well.
Paul, you mentioned the Ashford Business Awards that are happening on the back of Grow Kent next Thursday. The FSB are also on the search for the South East's most outstanding small businesses. So the FSB Awards 2018 are now open for entry. I think it's on the 11th of September. Last year, I think they had a big black tie gala dinner, didn't they, in London. So various categories, entry is open, and you need to visit fsbawards.co.uk to register.
Fantastic. There's a broadband compensation scheme. Ofcom has announced plans for people to be automatically compensated by broadband and landline providers for slow repairs, missed appointments and delayed installations. Ofcom says that as a result, BT, Sky, TalkTalk, Virgin Media and Zen Internet have agreed to introduce a compensation system. You can find out more by going to www.ofcom.org.uk/about-latest-media.
About time.
Absolutely. Yes. One more.
It's the budget tomorrow. We haven't even spoken about the budget, but the FSB is calling on the Chancellor to spark a small house builders boom in the budget tomorrow to help solve the UK's housing crisis.
We've got no one to do it, though.
But I say, nobody to build it.
Give me a break.
So, if you're a small business in house building or construction, the FSB would like to hear from you. They want to hear about your experiences and challenges in the marketplace. If you'd be interested in sharing your views in Parliament, which is a fantastic opportunity to stand up and share your concerns. It's Tuesday the 5th of December or Tuesday the 9th of January. Again, it's Jessica Smith on the FSB website that you need to get in touch with.
Fantastic. Thank you for that, Martin. That's the end of the FSB news for this week. We're now going to join John Waters in the Channel Radio newsroom.
On the hour, Channel Radio news update.